Welcome to Building Great Leaders with Dr. Les Olala.
How cheaply will you sell your peace? That which God gives to you, a fruit of the Spirit. Oh, I'll sell it for a passion.
On today's program, Dr. Olala focuses our attention on what the Scripture says about living with afterword in mind in a chapel message from 2000. Building Great Leaders provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Our speaker, Dr. Les Olala, is the founder and director of Building Great Leaders and has served the Lord full-time for 50 years as a pastor, Bible college president, and evangelist. And now, living with afterword in mind.
I want us to look in Hebrews 12, verse 17, and I want you to focus on one word in verse 17. And that one word is afterward. If you mark in your Bible, underscore that word afterward. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. The tragic story of a man named Esau. We look up in verse 14, follow peace with all men in holiness, without which no man can see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. We see the warning to watch diligently, see to it, oversee is actually the word, that no one comes short of the grace of God. I believe this is a direct application to someone coming short of the saving grace of God. So let's note first of all the person in this text. The person is Esau. And let me set my premise. If I am to have a blessed afterward, I have to make choices now and keep the sin cleansed and confessed out of the life now. That is going to make the difference afterward. But if I want a life that is cursed, God said the curses in this book shall be placed upon you because you have gone contrary to God's revealed perfect will. So the person, Esau, first of all, he was sensual. It says, beware, lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And my, how we need to focus on bitterness. Bitterness from a person's background makes that person act and react in very strange ways. Some who have been bitter against abuse in their youth, maybe sensual and sexual abuse within the own home sometimes. And after many years of under preaching and after many years of weird actions and weird activities, finally something comes out. And they finally get honest about what has been bugging them for many, many years. And it spews out as bitterness. But then it goes on and says, lest there be any fornicator. There we see his sensual side. We know that much about the person, that he was sensual. This word pornos, James chapter 4 makes the application for spiritual fornicators. Love not the world, we are told, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. James says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is what? Enmity against God. You cannot be aligned with this world system and be aligned as a friend of God. You say, well, amen, you preach to those perverts. No, I'm not preaching to perverts right now. I'm preaching to people who subtly have their own plan and their own way, and it's all very acceptable. Demas hath forsaken me. Didn't say having loved porn movies. Having loved this present world system. And let me tell you, it is very, very tempting when you get into a circumstance and into a situation that you see what this world system can have and what this world system can offer, that you will be turned aside from the calling of God. But in this particular case, this person Esau was making reference to fornication. Let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. We see the seriousness of this matter. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Listen carefully. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither, what's the first word there? Fornicators. The pornos. That sin has many people in bondage. Esau was called a fornicator, man who lived completely for his own senses. Lest there be any fornicator, neither idolaters, neither adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were, past tense, some of you. I preached a message a few years back at opening in September called Making Your Sin Past Tense. And I focused on that verb, such were some of you. Paul is talking about what used to be true of these Corinthians, not what could be presently true of them and call themselves children of God. So we see he was sensual. Not only sensual, he was senseless. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, that means a senseless person, one who has no spiritual conscience. As you're forming friendships throughout life, watch where they lead you. Watch where they attempt to lead you. And you may have to draw some lines. And you may have to say, it will cost me an acquaintance. I almost said friend. Because when you have a person who is sensual and is senseless, that he is completely insensitive to the needs of our hearts in relationship to God. Psalm chapter 1 calls this the ungodly, or those who are hostile against God, the word rasha. This word profane is bebelos, I believe. I wrote it down because it sounded so funny. Are you a bebelos? Senseless? Profane? Did I pray? I pray there is not an Esau here. I pray this week will end with rejoicing. You with good consciences. Well, let's look at the privilege. We've seen the person Esau. What was the privilege? Who was Esau? Well, I think he had the privilege of his birth. The son of Isaac and Rebekah, the grandson of Abraham and Sarah. He was the firstborn. He had the birthright. Succeeded father's rank and position as head, which meant a double portion of land could be sold or it could be forfeited by misconduct. So what a privilege he had as the firstborn. Also, it carried with it the favor of being an heir in the covenant God made with Abraham. So we see Jacob, with all of his problems, with all of his shenanigans, and all of the things he faced, he still had an eye for that which is eternal. And my, what lessons we can learn from Jacob. But with Esau, things that were unseen had neither substance nor evidence to him compared with things that were seen and temporal. Esau was not into what is not seen and what is eventual. Esau was into now. I want it now. And whatever you're promising eventually, whatever this spiritual blessing is eventually, whatever this eternal thing eventually is, that means nothing to me because that has no substance with a sensual, senseless person because it is not tangible right now. But the things that were seen and temporal were the ones that became the point of focus. But then we see the price. What did we do? See with him who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. One little quick meal. He lost it all. Turn back to Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. And we see this Old Testament story, the sale of the birthright. And I want you to follow me as I quickly come to a close here. Genesis 25, beginning in verse 27. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore his name was called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at a point to die. What profit shall this birthright do me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. And thus Esau, what's the next word there? Despised his birthright. Now what does that mean? That word bazah, considered worthless. Esau considered the birthright worthless. The privileges that were his, he thought that is worthless to me because it doesn't satisfy me for right now. You as an individual, how could you be described in two words? Hopefully it would not be sensual and senseless. How easily would someone come and make an offer to you? And that offer is worth more to you than every single thing you've had up to this point and every single thing spiritually for the reward that is yet coming. How quickly will you let that go? For what price? For Esau, it was one morsel of meat. One fleshly fulfillment. He despised. Look in Numbers chapter 15 and verse 31. We see that word despised. I tracked that through the Old Testament. And I'm going to take some of the references that use that same word, despised or worthless. Numbers chapter 15 and verse 31. Verse 30 puts it into context, but the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, And that soul shall be cut off from among his people. This is dealing with presumptuous sinning. Oh, I know God will forgive me. I know God is gracious. Because he hath, what's the word there? Despised the word of the Lord. And hath broken his commandments. That soul shall be utterly cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. So what do we find the Israelites doing here? The word despised there, despised the law of the Lord. We not only see them despising the law of the Lord, we see them despising the Lord. They considered the Lord, bazaar, worthless. And they said, God, why did we leave Egypt? You see what was wrong with them? Their heart was still in that which was in bondage. So they didn't want God giving them any ounce of instruction. We see them now despising leadership. 1 Samuel 10:27. They begged for a king. God gave them a king. Saul was anointed. And as would be tradition, they would be at the anointing. They would bring gifts. But it says in verse 27 of chapter 10 of 1 Samuel, but the children of Belial said, how shall this man save us? And they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. They had considered leadership worthless. That which they begged for, now they had. And they considered worthless. You love the law of the Lord. You love the Lord, and you be obedient to leadership. What I preached last night, I talked about ways in which Joseph was preserved. And he was preserved by loving God and fearing God. And he was preserved by being submissive to leadership over him. You say, I am not going to follow. I will do what I want to do. And you're inching yourself out of God's protection. Look in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 31. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 31. God was leading them to the land. There was the land of Canaan. And he says, but your little ones, which said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. God is telling them, your carcasses will fall in the wilderness. You have gone against me. You have murmured, you have griped. I have had an eventual blessing for you if you just kept going. But 40 years of wandering when they could have been there in 11 plus days. And he said, the little ones that you bore, they will inherit the land that you considered worthless. And your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness. They despised the land that God had given to them. Have you ever made a list of the blessings of God? Sometimes when I get murmuring and complaining in my spirit, I stop and I make a list in my mind and occasionally on paper of all of the goodness that God has shown, all of his provisions. God was leading them to a land. God was leading them to provision and to blessing and promise. And they considered worthless. Not only the law considered worthless. The Lord himself considered worthless. Leadership considered worthless. The land and the blessings God had given considered worthless. Now what? The love of God considered worthless. They despised it. You can reject a lot of things in your mind. You may be able to point at personalities that make you so angry that you say, I don't want to listen to them. There may be something, but God, his perfect love, how could that be considered worthless in their minds? They forfeited all of the blessings of God and all of the opportunities of God for one morsel of meat. Come says, I'm hungry. I'm dying. What good is the birthright going to do me if I'm dead? Let me say, many sell the privileges they have and they sell their future very, very cheaply. Let me also say, he who sells his birthright sells it many times in his heart before he ever takes it to an open market. What have you already sold in your heart? And only the absence of restraint will cause you to finally make the sale final. The deal is already made in your head. It's already made in your heart. Now you are going to take it to the open market. What do you have for sale? Your victory? You say, I'll sell my spiritual victory for a video. Pretty good exchange, isn't it? How cheaply will you sell your peace? That which God gives to you, a fruit of the Spirit. Oh, I'll sell it for a passion. Yeah, what peace, what's that to me? Victory, what is that to me? Peace, I mean, that's worthless to me compared to passion fulfilled. Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Short-term pain, long-term pleasure. Short-term pleasure, long-term pain. Those are the only two options you have. Well, family. I want my family, but I'd sell it. I'd put it up on the market for a little folly. Ministry, that's worthless to me. Give me materialism. I shared with the juniors and seniors at the junior-senior banquet. I was talking to a missionary down in Kansas City, a tremendous fellow, fruit, great fruit. He was sharing me some of his experiences in life. Then when he surrendered to missions, he said God wanted him on the mission field. He went excitedly, shared this with the pastor, thinking the pastor would say words of encouragement. The pastor said, you were always one of the dumb ones. You know what? A lot of people have that today, that mentality. It's us dummies, the dummies, who sell out and are leading people to Christ and who sell out. The dummy, Jim Hill, my dummy friend, you know where he's going? He's going where the gospel is not freely given. He's going up there. What a dummy. I mean, what if he gets hurt up there? Oh, no, it's not the dummies. The dummies are the ones who are selling a ministry for materialism. Poor purity, how precious is purity to you? I'll sell it for some porn. Just give me that moment of pleasure and I'll sell it just like that. Marriage. You have it up for sale? What are you bartering? Moments of pleasure. A moment pleasure. That's all I'm at. A moment pleasure. One morsel of meat. Then we close the pain. Go back to Hebrews chapter 12. The pain. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, there's the key text word. Afterward. And afterward is coming for every single one of us. Afterward. when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. You are free to choose, but you are not free to determine the consequences of your choice. Because nobody can control your mind. But you cannot control the consequences of the choice that your mind makes. That's already programmed in. Though he sought it carefully with tears, that word means with a diligence, like a digging, panicky digging. And I don't think it was repentance in his heart. I think he was seeking repentance in the heart of his father. Asking his father, would you repent and get me my birthright back? Because there's no sign that he ever repented himself for his life and his values. He sought to change the mind of Isaac. But I don't think he sought a change of his own mind. All he was trying to beg Isaac to do was, Isaac, would you change your mind and give me what I had coming to me? Give it back. And the pain for those who are hypocrites, the pain for those who are pretenders, will be eternal damnation in hell, awaiting transfer into the lake of fire. The second death. What's for sale in your life? What do you already have posted on the bulletin board of your mind? Selling cheap. Must sell. I've been under bondage for 9 months. Must have. And here's what I will barter. Afterward is coming. You will be so much more blessed with your afterward when right now you choose that which is right.
Thank you for joining us for Building Great Leaders today. Dr. Les Olala speaking on living with afterward in mind. This program is a ministry of Building Great Leaders, providing instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders, and is produced by Harvest Ministries on Guam. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Join us again for more teaching from the Word of God next time on Building Great Leaders.